You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Wednesday. Having a blast. We have a bit of good news here, kind of, in a way. Talk about something Marco Rubio said. RFK Jr. is even making fun of the media now, which is hilarious. All that, emails, so much more coming up on another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. First, let's begin here. And let me just get this out of the way first. I know that you're going to say that's not near enough. That's the exact same thing I'm saying. But it's a start. The headline is this. FBI reassigns agents from iconic photo of them kneeling during the George Floyd protest. Now, let's just recap what happened. You know about George Floyd. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. What you may have missed, or what you may have maybe forgot, is, well, let's talk about the FBI. It is very common, especially if you're older, more my age and older, I would argue, if someone was to do a word association thing, some one of those weird psychiatrist things, FBI agent, what is the first image that pops into your head? I will tell you, the first image that pops into my head, even with my complete and utter disdain of the Cheka, remember, I'm the one who wants to eliminate the organization entirely. You say FBI agent, I picture a fit dude in sunglasses wearing one of those blue FBI jackets with the yellow FBI letters in the back. A cop. You picture a cop. That's what you picture. Okay? But, not so much. Chris, grab that John Sullivan audio from yesterday of that fruity dude who's running for Congress as the former FBI guy. That's actually perfect to make my point here. If you look up the picture, FBI agents kneeling George Floyd, it's not just the kneeling that will anger you. You look at this picture, and it's a bunch of cat ladies. Some fat, some not, but it's a bunch of communist hags. When you think about the FBI, you probably get the wrong image in your head of some crime fighter with a blue jacket on. The truth is, the people who work at the FBI now are the same people who work at Disney, pushing communism everywhere they go. Nasty, bitter communist women clawing their way up through the position, and men, by the way, clawing their way up through positions of power, destroying everything they possibly can on behalf of the revolution. So when I say things like the FBI intelligence division, do you even know what they are? What they do? Most people don't. Not really aware of it, nor do I expect you to be. Don't feel dumb. Maybe you think there's some Jason Bourne types in there. Allow me to introduce to you one who worked there for 17 years, and he's now running for Congress. Who's working inside of the FBI? And why? How could they find agents who wanted to infiltrate your church to label you a domestic terrorist? Well, This is how.
We're up against some serious threats right now. From skyrocketing costs to Trump and billionaires corrupting our government. And I can't just sit on the sidelines and watch. Because for 17 years, I was an FBI intelligence analyst. Working in secret to keep us safe from global threats and the insurrectionists who stormed our Capitol. But now that the threat is coming from inside the White House, I had to leave the FBI and step forward so I can finally tell you who I am. Hi, I'm John. No, I can say that now. I'm John Sullivan. I'm a dad, a husband, a public servant, and a cancer survivor.
Yeah,
and I'm running for Congress.
Let's just stop. Yeah. Remember when I told you about Linda Fagan? The communist who was the head of the Coast Guard. And remember when we had that talk? That we think it's maybe just the head of this department or that department, but there are little Fagans everywhere in the government. They're everywhere because the communists put them there on purpose. 35,000 employees at the FBI. How many do you think are Fagans just like John Sullivan is? A lot. We have a secret state police agency full of Fagans who want to destroy your life. And they'll believe they're right to destroy your life. How could they come up with a plan to infiltrate your church? That's an unbelievably evil secret state police thing to do. Well, you recruit enough Fagans, you'll get people who want to destroy your church. That's how it works. Now, that brings me to this. The reassignment of the people in this picture. This is just a start. It's not near enough. But what it does show you is there is currently a focused effort inside the FBI by Dan Bongino, by Kash Patel, to root out the problem. Now, I am not, absolutely not, this is me, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they've done enough because they haven't, and they wouldn't tell you that either. And I'm not going to tell you they're going to succeed. I don't know that. I don't have any idea. And I'm friends with Dan. I don't know. I know Dan wants to succeed. I don't know whether they can. I don't believe personally that they can. There, I just laid it out for you again. I think I've told you that before. I do not believe the secret state police agency can be fixed in any way. I think the only way to save the country is completely eliminate it. Zero out its budget, fire every single employee top to bottom, and demo the building to the ground. But it's something, and it shows you, hopefully in a little way, that someone's trying something. Is it enough? Of course not. Look, we still have all these guys, the Steve Friends, the Garrett O'Boyles, we still have all these whistleblowers who need to be brought back and made whole and paid and like all kinds of, like, I know about all the things that still need to happen. I do. I know. But it's something. It's something. Watching RFK Jr. dunk on Anderson Cooper is something.
Oh, you know, Anderson Cooper gets a salary of something like $20 million a year, but probably 75% of that is coming indirectly through pharmaceutical companies. Oh, that's who his boss is, and that's why he's reporting to, and that's why during COVID you saw, right, you know, the all of these news channels completely on board, shaming people who didn't go along with the government orthodoxies and drumming up fear about COVID, you know, printing the deaths on the chyrons every day and the number of cases, et cetera. And there was, and fortifying an orthodoxy that just so happens to create huge profits for their advertisers. The food companies are the other big advertisers. So the cereal brands, et cetera, they have tremendous power over the media. And that's one of the reasons I think that I get such blowback.
He's not wrong. And you know what's crazy about that? It applies to a lot of media stations. A lot of the media. And beyond that, how many media organizations in this country, directly or indirectly, get money from China? More than you can imagine. Infiltrated, extremely infiltrated, and paid off. All right, let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse. Just want to say Semper Fi from a radio operator, 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marines. How about that? Field radio operator. Heard your comments about HR department. Oh, by the way, quick pause on that. These radio guys, That thing is freaking heavy. I'll tell you that much. It's heavy. So when you see somebody who carried a radio around the Marine Corps, give him your respect. That thing is heavy. Anyway, I heard your comments about HR departments, and that is 100% the truth. I reached out to our department for opportunities for growth within my company, and all I got sent is a page full of DEI lessons. It's a giant company worldwide. I don't want to say the name. The HR department, I again want to warn you, if you work for a company, maybe it's your company, if you have an HR department, if you have one, it is almost undoubtedly destroying your company and you don't know it, because it is almost undoubtedly the place where the communists have wormed their way into. I bet you money. You have a bunch of communist single women who work in your HR department. They seek it out like moths to a flame, because that's where they can go and seize a chokehold of power and proceed to use that chokehold to disseminate communism throughout your company. Oh, I'd love to give you that 10% promotion. Sorry, but I see you didn't finish your Why White People Are Evil seminar that I sent out last week. HR, human resources, is the bane of your existence in this country, and you may not even realize it. I bet she loves abortion too. They love abortion. That's why I love preborn. I love to fight these people. And the best way to fight these people is simply with the truth. You don't have to yell and scream at anyone. You don't have to arrest anybody. These mothers who want to kill their babies. You just have to show them that they're mothers. They don't know. They're surrounded by evil. They're surrounded by pressure and lies. You better kill it. You better get rid of it. There are women listening right now who've had abortions who know exactly what I'm talking about. Nothing but pressure, nothing but lies. It's a clump of cells. You'll never know it's gone. It's gonna. But that young mother needs an ultrasound, because when she hears that heartbeat, she will choose life almost every time, and preborn does it. Preborn gives them free ultrasounds, and they do it with your help. 200 lives a day, over 60,000 lives saved last year by you and Preborn. Lives walking the planet because of what you did. And it's tax deductible. You can give them as much as you want. You can give them 50 grand. It's tax deductible. Amazing. Save a life and write it off on your taxes. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. I'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can download the podcast, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You know, we haven't heard in forever.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch,
a
bunch of
free. From a better time in America. Hey, Jesse, I lost my dad in November. I found myself in need of a laugh. In February, I was listening to your show while drinking water. You were talking about that eunuch Lindsey Graham and then transitioned into an ad for Rough Greens. While I was drinking, you said, I bet Lindsey Graham's dog doesn't get nutrition except maybe from peanut butter. I forgot I said that. As I started to laugh, half the water went into my airway and the other half I spewed into my lap. As I sat there laughing, coughing, and sputtering, and with tears streaming down my face, I couldn't help but wonder if this is what it was like to be waterboarded. Anyway, thanks for the laugh. I needed it. We all need it from time to time, man, and I am sorry about your dad. I still think about mine every day. Dear Professor, I'm sure Dan Bongino was hard at work fixing the Cheka, but I figured we would have seen an interview or two. So being such good friends, what's up? Can you give us an update? Okay, so I've had a couple of these emails before because people know Dan and I are friends. And they want an update. And I've had a bunch of people say, well, why don't you have Dan on so he can, you can interview him and he can talk to us. Okay, so I trust you. And I hope at this point in time you trust me, even if sometimes you don't like me or disagree with me. I hope you know that I'm giving it to you straight. You get it. I sit in the car with you. I cook with you. You know who I am. So this is me giving it to you straight, and I'm just going to lay this out for you, okay? Dan Bongino is the deputy director of the FBI. Dan Bongino is very, very aware of all the problems. He hasn't forgotten. He spoke about those problems on the radio, his podcast a million times. Even if you don't know Dan or don't like him, he did. He talked about all the problems. And so Dan Bongino has a lot of work to do. But the kind of work Dan Bongino has to do is not the kind of work that he can do or should do even publicly. The things Dan Bongino needs to do, it doesn't help him to come do an interview on the show. Dan would come on, I'm sure, if I asked. I'm not going to ask because you're not going to learn anything new. You'll get to hear his voice. You'll get to hear he and I laugh and joke a little bit, maybe a little tidbit here or there. But publicly, he can't do what he has to do. It doesn't aid him, you, or me. I understand why you asked the question, and I'm not faulting you at all to ask the question. You want to know. You want to be told, hey, we are currently doing this, this, and this. And the plan is after we do this, we're going to go after this. And once we're done with that, we're going to do that. And we're going to clean out this. And in order to clean out this, we're going to do that. You want to know. I want to know. But I don't ask because I know that I can't be told and probably shouldn't be told. Do I know some things? Not necessarily from Dan, but from other sources I have? Yes. But I can't tell you. I tell you everything I'm allowed to tell you, okay? Every single thing. Neither of us know. Neither of us are gonna. The proof is simply going to be in the pudding. There are things I would say you should watch out for that'll be clues. If we're, look, it is, what is the date today? It's April 30th. April 30th, 2025. If it's April of 2026, and we're not talking about real clean out at the FBI, arrests too, you know, pending indictments, things like that. If a year from now, we're still just doing this, hey, we reassigned this and we moved this around, then you'll know it can't be done. I can't tell you that they're going to succeed. As I told you before, I frankly don't think they will. And I hate to say that about my friend, but I owe you honesty and I'll give it to you. I do not believe the secret state police agency will allow itself to be reformed. It's too powerful. It has too much blackmail information on critical people that are going to be needed to reform it. It just, they've always worked to protect themselves from reform, as every secret police agency does. You ever seen that movie? Hilarious movie and wonderful. The Death of Stalin. You ever seen that movie? And when Beria, the horrible, evil secret police boss, when he finally gets busted, when they come at him, what does he say? I've got files on you. I've got files on you. I have files on all of you. But don't think that was just a movie. That's how secret police agencies operate. Anybody who may hurt them, start a file. Get some damaging information on them in order to protect yourself. You think the FBI doesn't have damaging files? Do you remember Ken Buck practically getting to second base with the FBI when everyone else is trying to defund them? Why do you think he did that? And then promptly retired? Why do you think he did that? File on him is probably an inch thick. It is what it is. I don't know that they will succeed. I know they can't tell us everything every step of the way, no matter how much you want or no matter how much I want. All right, let's talk about Democrats. It's wonderful. The Democrat Civil War. Before we talk about that, let me talk to you about getting a brand new phone. I love getting new phones. I only do it once every 4 or 5 years because they're so expensive, though. They're expensive. The last time we looked at phones, they were $1,000. That's what they were charging for phone. $1,000 for a freaking phone. You know that Pure Talk will give you a Samsung Galaxy for free right now? When you sign up for Pure Talk, not only will your phone bill go down, But a qualifying plan for a free phone starts at just $35 a month. That gets you unlimited talk, text, and 15 gigs of data. And that gets you a free, not some junky one, a free Samsung Galaxy. And you keep your phone number. I want to be clear, this is easy. They make it easy. All you have to do is call them, and a pleasant American on the other end of the line will walk you through everything. You just have to make a phone call. You do it during the commercial break. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That's it. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math & Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math & Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on my way to... I'm actually not on my way to anything right now, but I'm just kind of sitting here. But I thought it would be cool if I used the music to... Anyway, let's discuss something, shall we? Let's discuss the internal civil war inside the Democrat Party. More and more people are noticing. More and more people are talking about it. I can't take my eyes off of it. Here's a couple headlines. CNN's Van Jones says Democrats have nothing other than outrage against Trump and Musk. Let's focus on that for a moment. Remember that conversation we had, it wasn't long ago, earlier in this show, about how bitterness, destruction, it can be all you see, to where you don't necessarily, you don't follow anything to its logical conclusion, you just destroy. So I get home and I'm angry and I yell at the dog and I go to the kitchen and I start grabbing the plates and I start throwing the plates on the ground and shattering all the plates in the kitchen. I'm so angry. I'm so bitter. I'm so consumed by whatever has angered me, probably Chris, that I go to the kitchen and I shatter all the plates. In that moment, am I thinking, well, what am I going to eat off of when Ob gets finished with dinner? No. Because I have gotten myself mentally in a place where I want to break some plates. And it's a heavy place to be.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
Democrats in this country, as we discussed earlier, communists are herd animals who are programmable. Programmable. They will love what they are told to love. They will hate what they are told to hate. They don't, it's not just that they haven't thought through these things or followed them to their logical conclusion. They don't want to. They don't want to have to bother with that. Just tell me who the enemy is. Tell me who I'm supposed to hate. Tell me who I'm supposed to love. Tell me what I'm supposed to destroy. Okay, so I'm supposed to worship George Floyd, and I definitely have to buy an electric car because all the other cars are destroying the earth. All right, I bought an electric car. Oh, crap. 5 minutes later, I found out it's a Tesla. I guess I better key my own car because now I'm told to hate that car. You can't follow it logically because you think logically and they don't. When it comes to Donald Trump. Now, think about this for a moment. George Floyd, you remember that. It's a great example how much the left got whipped into a frenzy over George Floyd this, George Floyd that, George Floyd statues, George Floyd memorials, George Floyd. Now, that was over somebody they had been introduced to overnight. Overnight, they were introduced to it. They saw the video. And then, boom, the system through programming, turned that guy into a saint. And your liberal Aunt Peggy talked about how much she loved him. Now, think about that and how quickly that happened for her. Think about how much hate they have poured on Donald Trump since 2015. 2015, Donald Trump declares he's going to run for president. And Chris, dig this up if you don't mind. He gives that first speech. I still remember it. Now, this is 10 years ago now, a decade of it. He gives a speech saying that Mexico isn't sending their best. They're sending drugs and they're sending crime. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. Mexico isn't sending their best. They're sending drugs. They're sending crime. Now, that wasn't groundbreaking even back then for normal people. That's how you talk with your friends. People know that drugs and crime and bad things are coming across the border. Everybody knows that. That's the basic. But what he did was he violated an unspoken rule in politics. In Democrat politics, you have to speak about illegals in only the most loving terms at all times. But almost the same thing on the Republican side. I mean, you can be against illegal immigration, but at the same time, you have to finish that sentence with, but we are a nation of immigrants, and you have to do the same thing. Politicians never came out and said, well, they're sending rapists and drugs and murderers across the border. That wasn't something that was said. Trump says it. Immediately, the system, as we've talked about, their commitment to mass importation of foreigners, immediately the system freaked out. Oh, here he was. Yeah, go ahead and play it, Chris.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
That's not a crazy way to talk, but it was for a politician. And what happened is not only he said it, but immediately, overnight, he was popular for saying it. Overnight. People forget now because we're 10 years removed from it. Or maybe you're even too young to remember. Overnight, Trump went from somebody who was known, everyone knew who Donald Trump was, TV show and billionaire guy, everyone knew that. He went from that to being the most popular Republican by a mile on that Republican ticket. Remember, it was this huge field, Rick Santorum, all these people. Overnight, he said those words and the people loved it. The system freaked. And they've been freaking ever since. And for 10 years, your liberal Aunt Peggy has been told over and over and over again that Trump is the source of all the problems, that Trump is a Nazi and Trump's a racist and Trump is evil and Trump is this and Trump is that. So much so that she does not even live in anything close to the real world now. Well, Democrats do that very well. And of course, it motivates their base and gets people to the polls. The problem is, After so much time, it's become all they are. It's become who they are, and they're not anything else. What Van Jones said is completely correct. Normies out there, what's the Democrat Party selling you? Oh, I know the Republican Party has problems, and I could point to all those too. Maybe you're unhappy with this or unhappy with that, or maybe you're mad about the tariffs. I know. We could sit and debate all these Republican priorities and spending and things like that, but what is the Democrat Party selling you? Well, they don't have anything to sell because they've based their entire worldview for 10 years on one man. That one man has given their people focus, It's given their people motivation, but now they find themselves as a party without anything to sell. There's something nothing could sell. Which, of course, brings us to Tim Walz. You see, Tim Walz, he sat in front of a group of people. He was speaking at Harvard. And politicians do this sometimes when they get comfortable, when they're in comfortable environments, they come out and they say things that are a little too honest. This happens to all of us. You see, Republicans get burned by this when they're in a primary or they're having a town hall, a room full of friendly people. They'll say something that comes back to haunt them. Tim Walz came out and was talking about his place on the Kamala Harris ticket and why he was there.
But I also was on the ticket, quite honestly, you know, because I could code talk to white guys watching football, fixing their truck, doing that I could put them at ease. I was the permission structure to say, look, you can do this and vote for this.
Did you know that I, one time in my life, pandered to a group of people? I still feel disgusted by it. You want to hear that story? Because we're going to talk about politicians and pandering and what Tim Walz said. I'll tell you my little story, and then we'll talk about Tim Walz next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. You can send us an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before we get back to Tim Walz and why his pandering is so bad and why it doesn't land well, let me tell you a little story about my one-off on political pandering. All right? Now, I understand that pandering is part of politics. Republicans do it. Democrats do it. I get that. Politicians going someplace they wouldn't normally go and pretending they want to be there. Wearing something they wouldn't normally wear and pretending like it's their normal thing. Because there's no ability like relatability. People pander because it works. Now, I will tell you this. You know, I ran for Congress twice. I had this thing. And my thing when I was running for Congress was, because I was so young, I was in my 20s, I wanted to look older and more mature. And I believe that you should dress for the job you want. And so I always wore either a suit or some pared down version of a suit. You can go look at old pictures of me running for Congress. I am either in a suit and tie, or I have lost the tie. Or maybe if it's really hot, because it was Tucson, maybe I lost the jacket too, but I rolled up my sleeves. But I'm at some stage of wearing a full suit in every picture you will ever see of me running for Congress, because I believed in it all the way. That's what I believed you should dress like when you were running for Congress. And I'm not judging you if you don't dress that way or ran away. For me, that's what I believed at the time. Okay? There was one time that I changed, because my team knew I don't change. This is what I wear. This is why I wear it. Don't ask me to change. There was a bunch of ranchers, cattle ranchers, and they would do a livestock auction. That's part of ranching. That's part of ranch life. You're probably not familiar with it, but that's part of ranch life. You're always buying, selling, things like that. And they had this amazing little breakfast place called the Cattleman's Cafe. All these ranchers would go in there and we'd eat, pour gravy all over everything, and we'd eat everything and we'd go, you know. Anyway, I got an opportunity to go to this when I was running for Congress to speak. And one of my guys said, hey, Jesse, what if you lose the dress shoes, wear cowboy boots this time? Now, I own cowboy boots, and I owned them back then. I wear cowboy boots, mainly because I don't know fashion. And yes, I do. I mean, I could ride a horse and do things like that, but that's not why I wear them. It's more of a fashion thing. One time, I agreed. I said, okay, go into the Cattleman's Cafe, I'll wear cowboy boots. Now, that's all it was. I just wore cowboy boots. I didn't show up and pretend like I was a cattle rancher or something like that. When we left, I felt so dirty and dishonest, I told my whole team, I will never do that ever again. Don't ever ask me again. That's how much I despise pandering. It feels dishonest. It feels not genuine, and I despise that. And I'm a terrible person, and I despise that, okay? But no one called me out on it there, and nobody ever would. Why? Well, one, because I like the people who were there, who I was talking to. Ranchers are my kind of people. Two, my boots have scuffs on them. The soles are worn down. It was obvious that they're my boots, right? I didn't run down to the store and pick up a pair of boots and throw them on and go there. They're my boots. It's something I wore. So it wasn't completely dishonest. That's the only reason I wasn't called on it. That's the only reason no one ever really knew about it. Tim Walz says something here, and I don't think he gets it. I don't think the Democrat Party gets it at all. I'm going to play what he said again at Harvard about why he was picked for the Kamala Harris ticket. And to be fair, he's honest about why he was picked. You and I discussed this at the time. Hey, why would you pick Tim Walz?
But I also was on the ticket, quite honestly, you know, because I could code talk to white guys watching football fixing their truck, doing that I could put them at ease. I was the permission structure to say, look, you can do this and vote for this.
But it didn't work. And why doesn't it work? Well, there's a limit to how much you can pander, you see. I can throw on a pair of cowboy boots and go down to the Cattleman Cafe because I own a pair of cowboy boots and I eat at places like the Cattleman Cafe. The reason Democrats were not successful pandering to dudes by rolling out Tim Walz, calling him a football coach, and having him do TV commercials working on his pickup truck, the reason that doesn't work for today's Democrat Party is not actually the fault of Tim Walz. It's because every dude with two brain cells to rub together understands they are completely despised by the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party despises men of every single color. Men are the most likely to stand against them, to vote against them, to be against them. If you want to be accepted in Democrat circles at all, you have to prostrate yourself and essentially declare that women are almighty and over you and you're worthless and stupid. That's why Joe Biden constantly did that. I'm just so dumb. Hey, Jill, I can't wipe my pooper. Come help me out. That's why he loved to do that routine, because that's the only way to be accepted in Democrat circles. And dudes, real men, find that disgusting. You heard me rant about it a million times. I hated it. I realized it was supposed to be some sell to make him look really relatable. I'm too dumb to find the stage without my wife, Jill. I thought it made me want to freaking vomit. And dudes, all men, even the normies, it's not just you. All men know that the modern day Democrat Party hates them. Has nothing but complete disdain for who they are, what they want, what they believe, and especially white dudes. If you're a white dude and you are voting Democrat today, you're a sucker, a complete sucker. They'll openly declare their hatred for you, but you don't care. You know why? Because you don't have any testosterone. Because you haven't taken a male vitality stack from Chalk. That's why. You understand that you don't even have to learn economics or things about taxes or the border or anything like that to turn yourself into a Republican. If you're one of the commie hate listeners, if you just raise your T levels, you'll switch parties. Do you know that? Because Tim Walz pretending like he's a dude's dude, it only works on dudes that are low T like you. I personally take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. I'm full of energy. Testosterone, focus. I feel amazing. When I hear Democrats talk, it only fills me with disgust. Try it. Try a subscription to Chalk, natural herbal supplements. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks, they have it all. You feel like $1 million. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Now, back to the civil war that is the Democrat Party. I am seeing more and more people discuss it as it plays out before our eyes now. Hakeem Jeffries, you know who Hakeem Jeffries is. He's the minority leader in the House of Representatives. He's trying to fight this war too. He's losing, but he's trying. We'll talk about that next.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.